Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 10th chapter. Jesus said to the 12, "A disciple is not above the teacher, nor a slave above the master. It is enough for the disciple to be like the teacher, and the slave like the master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? So have no fear of them, for nothing is covered up that will not be uncovered, and nothing secret that will not become known. What I say to you in the dark, tell in the light, and what you hear whispered, proclaim from the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from your Father. And even the hairs of your head are all counted. So do not be afraid. You are of more value than many sparrows. Everyone, therefore, who acknowledges me before others, I also will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever denies me before others, I also will deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And one's foes will be members of one's own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take up the cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Those who find their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask that the children come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning, guys. Some of you may have played this game before. How many jelly beans do I have in this jar? How many do you think? Pastor said earlier, 61?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. Pastor said 61. What do you think? 32, 40, how many? 72. You are very close. There's actually 109 jelly beans in this jar. Now, wouldn't it be amazing if you and I could look at the jar and just say 109. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, that's exactly what we heard in the gospel this morning. God knows exactly everything. He knows how many hairs you have on your head. This morning, I thought about trying to count my eyelashes. I thought, you know, maybe forget it. But God knows. And he goes on to say that he is very sad when just one sparrow falls from the sky. How many have ever thought about keeping a sparrow for a pet? It's a little bird. Well, I looked it up on the internet. Do you know, you really can't keep a sparrow because they're a flock bird. They need to be with other birds. And not only that, if you do find one, well, they just weren't worth very much. According to the Bible, one sparrow would cost you half a penny. Do we even have a half a penny? No. But you've got some money, but do you have a half a penny? You could cut it in half, yeah. Okay, that might work. The point is, people kind of consider sparrows not very worthy, but God does. God loves them. And how amazing that he loves us even more. He sent his only son so that we can have eternal life. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us your son, and thank you for loving us so much. Amen.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It's amazing how fast change, even in church. Last week we wished our friends Happy Father's Day. And today we are blindsided by the words in the gospel lesson today from Jesus. He says, "I have come to set a man against his father and a daughter against her mother." These are hardly words we expect in church on Sunday at any time of the year. We may not be sure what to expect when we come to church, but these words of Jesus that we hear today in the gospel are not what we hope for. People come to church expecting comfort and encouragement. The week has been rough. You want something to keep you going. You want something to get you back on your feet again, something to get you enthused once again. You want something that reminds you who you are and where you're going and that your life really does matter. You need something that helps you to make your way in this world. Instead, what do we get today? Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth, but I have come to bring a sword. One's foes will be members of one's own household. It seems so discouraging. These words grate on nerves already raw. They are not what we expect to hear on a Sunday morning. If we're looking for something to help us to make our way in the world, what do we expect? What are we looking for? And how might that look? With these sayings, Jesus prepares his disciples to go out into the world and tell the good news and offer the blessings of God. A crowd gathers around Jesus. He looks upon them with compassion. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Then Jesus summons his disciples to go out with a message of God's compassion. Go and tell that the people that the kingdom of God has come near. Jesus prepares those who follow him to do just that, to be ambassadors of God's goodwill, heralds of God's good blessing. What can Jesus say to prepare the people for that work? Should we expect that the world will welcome people who want to follow in the way of Jesus Christ? Should we anticipate that people will gladly hear the good news of God's compassion, forgiveness, and his will to bless us? No, the world will receive it with condemnation. You say this Jesus is alive and Lord of all? I heard that he was killed outside of Jerusalem and then was buried. Did you see him alive? Well, no. Others saw him and told us. But I do have this sense that he's alive. And more than that, I have this conviction that he is alive and guiding my life in marvelous ways and in mysterious ways. Yeah, sure, right. The world will mock them. You belong to that church of Jesus Christ, don't you? Isn't your church the one who welcomes tax collectors and sinners? What kind of church are you running anyway? You just let anyone in over there? Well, we believe in forgiveness. We believe God welcomes all kinds of people. Yeah, sure, I bet you do. All the hostility that fell upon the head of Jesus now falls upon those who follow him and follow in his way to proclaim that good news of the kingdom. The good news of God's will is to bless all people. Not only that word, when they spread it out, not only separated them from their society, it also alienated them from their dearest friends and even from their families. However, when Jesus says one's foes will be members of one's own household, he's not saying that that will happen, but he says that a description of what can happen, and sometimes it does happen. Oh yeah, our kids are still caught up in that Jesus business. They send money every week to help the poor and to send missionaries across the world. I don't know. We tried to raise them right, and then they go and throw their money away. I don't know what we did wrong. Can you see why Jesus says what he says? If you are going into the world to follow the way of Jesus and to declare God's welcome to all people, expect a fight. The world will not take kindly to you. You may be treated with condescension. You Christians pray, don't you? What's that really like? Do you really think that you are talking to Jesus? Is it like that old movie, you know, the one with Jimmy Stewart in it, where he talks to the invisible rabbit? Is that what prayer is like? You will be humored. Honey, it's nice that you have a religion and all, but you don't want to deny yourself something just so that other people can learn about this Jesus business, do you? You will be dismissed. That new family that moved in next door to us, attractive folks, and they seem to be all right. Both of them went to college. She even went to law school. But they go to church. I don't know. They must be some kind of fanatics. You will be thought of as strange, odd, out of step. You heard about Bob? No, what? He's going to Mexico on his vacation this summer. So what? What's wrong with that? Cancun is nice all year long. No, he's going to some village way out in the boondocks to put plumbing in houses that some Christian group is building. He sure has gotten weird since he joined that church. You will receive hostility from others. You know, we wouldn't have those kind of folks hanging around our streets if you church people hadn't opened up that night shelter. But then those people would wind up sleeping under bridges, in alleys, or wherever they can find shelter. Well, isn't that what they deserve? Well, I guess we just believe that God wants something better for people than what they really deserve. Condescended, patronized, dismissed, regarded as odd, and even hated. Why would anyone want to follow in the way of Jesus Christ? You know these things already. We have discovered it in our own experiences as we've talked to neighbors or family members or friends, the rejection or the humiliation. We have found the hostility, and we were frightened because of that. But the fear wasn't the worst part. The worst part was the uncertainty as we told other people about Jesus Christ. We tried, maybe just a little bit, to offer a blessing or to speak with compassion. And because we received some type of negative reaction, we wondered, are we doing this right? It's an awkward situation. You try to pronounce a blessing, and someone curses you instead. You try to show God's compassion, but what you get instead is anger. You offer a cup of water, and someone slaps it away. What's happening here? Am I not doing this right? Is this not the right thing to do? No, you're doing the right thing, says Jesus. He says, whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones, none of these will lose their reward. But have no illusion. Not everyone will welcome you. Jesus gives us the word to help us to make our way in a world that needs God's love so desperately that it cannot imagine God's love. The world's answer to a curse is a louder curse. The world's response to hatred and prejudice is stronger hatred and more pronounced prejudice. Jesus invites us to be participants in the world's redemption, living, speaking, and acting in ways the world can scarcely imagine, and to which the world can only respond with suspicion and hostility. Jesus' words to them are actually words of comfort and encouragement. Keep on going. Even though they certainly are hardly the comfort and the encouragement that we need or that we expected, these are words of comfort and encouragement to people who have accepted the challenging work of living in God's compassion and announcing God's desire to bless all people. Too often we are tempted to dismiss Jesus' teaching as idealistic hot air. But with these words, we see the unflinching realism of his vision. He understands the difficulty and the danger of doing this sort of work. The kingdom of heaven is a rough business to be in, Jesus assures us. If they cursed me, they will certainly curse you. But do not fear. Though they may harm your body or they may hurt your feelings, they cannot take away your life, and they can never take away the life you have in Jesus Christ. The world knows so much about death and so little about life, so much about how to harm and so little about healing. Life and healing are the business of the kingdom of God, and we are called to life and sent out to share life in a world so desperately in love with death that it cannot imagine another way. We are sent to offer healing to a world that has so often lied about its own woundedness that it cannot even imagine true healing. It's a tough way to live. There's no doubt about it. It's tough, it's scary to take up that cross and follow Christ. The only thing harder and the only thing that will bring more trouble is every other way of life. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and mind through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.